Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Introducing Fidelity Trader Plus. With customizable tools and charts you can access across all your devices. Try our most powerful trading platform yet at fidelity.com/trader plus. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE, SIPC.
On the show to talk a little Brewers, it is Tim Dillard from Bally Sports, Wisconsin. Tim, how are you this afternoon, my man?
I'm good. Yeah, I'm used to that. It's the JIC move, J-I-C, just in case. Right? That was... I call it a career, but yeah, just in case, I get it.
I'm sure you did. Like on a day where they're like, "You're not pitching today," and then the phone rings and they're like, "Dillard, get up." What did that ever happen to you? Any advice when that happens to somebody, and whether in baseball or just in life?
Well, just in life, when people say like, "Oh no, there's no chance you're getting in there today," just know that they don't know, right? And especially specific to baseball, you can't. How do you know what's going to happen? I had a coach one time in AAA. I was in the bullpen. I'd been starting for a few years, and we were in Albuquerque. And pitching coach is going around, he's giving the thumbs up to everybody. Hey, how you feeling today? And I was like, hey, I'm good to go. And they're like, Dillard, don't even take your spike. Don't put your spikes on. Don't take your glove to the bullpen. There's no way. You've been pitching so much. There's no way you're getting in this ball game. And I promise you, our starter did not get out of the first inning, and I had to get the last two outs in the inning of the first.
In the first? Yeah.
If I would have listened to my coach, I wouldn't even have taken my glove. But I had an older guy in the bullpen that we were playing cards, and he leaned over and said, "You always prepare like you're the first one up." So, yeah, after that, nothing ever snuck up on me again.
That's great advice. It's Tim Dillard from Bally Sports Wisconsin. He's brought to us by Fourth Bay Steak and Seafood Restaurant. I was talking before the break, Tim, about this Rhys Hoskins injury, and we don't know anything yet today. They said he was going to get MRIs, and I'm not trying, and I said this before, I'm not trying to diminish Rhys Hoskins and how good he's been and how much he's meant to this Brewers lineup so far this season, but it's more a compliment to this team. If it's the 1 to 2 week variety of hamstring injuries, which a lot of them are, I feel like this is a lineup and an organization when you dip down into AAA and those teams, those guys that have sort of been on the shuttle, that's sort of built to withstand it. And I think they'll be all right.
I mean, depth only has, it has its limits. And the Brewers have been pushed to the limits when it comes to guys, especially on the pitching side, the starting pitching side. But losing Yelich for a month and he came back red hot is unbelievable. But to get him back and then all of a sudden lose possibly Rhys Hoskins. And I have a little special birdie that tells me that he's not playing today, but they also didn't put him on the IL as of now. I don't know if I haven't heard anything in the last little bit. But maybe it's a small thing. Maybe it's a couple of day thing. Honestly, just watching him slide into home the game before last, when he was thrown out at the plate, he kind of came up, and I thought maybe that's where it happened. But it manifested after he got the base hit yesterday. But I don't know. As long as it's not his knee, I feel like that's a good thing. And then after the MRI, maybe they'll know something. But for them not to immediately put him on the IL the day after is probably a better sign, just because they didn't jump to any conclusions. They're going to wait and see, and maybe it's a short thing.
That would be obviously best case scenario, talking with Tim Dillard of Bally Sports Wisconsin. Coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, Tim, and I'm not a gambling man. I'm assuming you're not either, but Vegas has really come around on this Brewers team and jacked up their win total to 84.5 from 77.5 where it started. I thought a lot of people were looking past this Brewers team when the season started and are starting to realize that this is a pretty good squad. Have you been surprised, or were you in the same boat as me of thinking that this is a team that will be able to scratch together wins at a pretty consistent rate this season?
I was surprised how little love they got before the season. Just because, I mean, it's easy to go, okay, they lost Corbin Burns, so they can't play baseball anymore. Like, are you kidding? And I know Vegas is going to do what Vegas does. Newsflash, they always win, regardless. But, yeah, I'm not surprised. They have great talent. It's just young talent. And you want to know, okay, who's going to perform? I think Bryce Turang is a prime example of what it takes to be an everyday big leaguer. Last year, struggled with the bat. The glove was superior. Now this year, I mean, put a glove on him, put a bat on, doesn't matter. He's doing everything. So there has to be a learning curve. And the Brewers luckily got through that last year and still had success. So now they're paying the dividends with someone like him. And now they have these younger guys, Blake Perkins, stepping up while Yelich was out. I mean, you need these big months. You need these big seasons from guys that are young. And I guess you just can't bet on that when it comes to baseball. But I don't know. I like the team. I liked it in spring training. I liked how it was drawing up. And listen, they're going to get back to full strength soon. They're going to have some guys coming back, hopefully bolster the starting rotation, possibly, you know, bolster the bullpen, and then hopefully those bats keep swinging. But, I mean, what can you say about William Contreras? I mean, I've never seen anything like this guy. I mean, he can hit anything if it's in the zone or not, slow or fast, super disciplined, and he doesn't care what his swing looks like. He just wants to put the barrel on it. And that's the guy that's leading the charge, wants to play every day. Him and Willie Adames stepped up big for the last month.
Yeah, you mentioned he likes to play every day. That can catch up to you at the catcher position. Do you think they're going to have to pull the reins on William Contreras as the season goes along and, to borrow a term from the NBA, start exercising some load management to make sure that they keep that big bat in the middle of the lineup, maybe sneak him in the DH spot here and there?
Well, I think there's signs. I think when it comes to hitters and position players especially, you can almost tell sometimes when they're overworked. Have not seen that from Contreras at all. I just haven't. You know, they rest him enough with the DH, and then every once in a while they have an off day, just, you know, no games. So I don't feel like he's been pushed extremely hard, but I think he was ready, number one. Going back to Blake Perkins, I mean, he was on fire, played 24 straight games, I think, while Yelich was out, and he needed a day off. You could just tell. I mean, guys that aren't used to playing this kind of thing every single day, it can catch up with you. A very demanding role, and he was on base a lot. So him getting some days off was actually really good, because you could kind of tell. You could kind of tell. Not really dogging him in any way, but it was a tribute to what he was able to accomplish and pick up slack when they were, you know, hurting for outfielders. So I don't know. This is the way baseball is. This is, you know, you have to kind of feel it out, and hopefully the coaching staff is just watching as well, going, okay, this guy needs a day. And you have to pull that card sometimes. You have to say, hey, man, I know that you want to be out there, but this is the day we have to pick. If I'm a position player and I have to come out of the lineup.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Introducing Fidelity Trader Plus, the next generation of advanced trading from Fidelity. Customize your tools and charts and access them seamlessly across desktop, web, and mobile. For faster trades anywhere you go, try the all-new Fidelity Trader Plus. Learn more about our most powerful trading platform yet at fidelity.com/traderplus. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE, SIPC.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm going to look to see who the other pitcher is. And if it's a Cy Young guy, I'm like, all right, I'll sit this day out.
Talking with Tim Dillard of Bally Sports, Wisconsin Brewers analyst, here brought to you by Fourth Bay Steak and Seafood Restaurant. You mentioned Corbin Burns and maybe that being part of the reason that Vegas and others were a little down on this Brewers team to start the season. They also lost their manager, and by most people's measure, a pretty good one, in Craig Counsell. Obviously, this team was familiar with Pat Murphy being Counsell's bench coach for all those years, but you don't know how a guy is going to handle being a manager until he's a manager in the big leagues. And so far, I don't know that there's anything bad to say about Pat Murphy's performance as the Brewers manager 40-some games into the season.
I have loved Pat Murphy. I get to be there for all his meetings and stuff before the game. I get to see him in the dugout, talk to him before games. He is a special breed of human. He's very transparent. He's the same person in front of the media as he is with his team, as he is in the dugout, as he is with his family. And you know what? Players are attracted to that because they know they're not going to get anything different other than who that person is. So, I don't know. I'm a real huge Pat Murphy fan. And I saw it last year just kind of – I don't know what he saw, like if he knew he was going to be the guy. But to me, it was the easiest decision the Brewers could possibly make. Once Council left, why not? Why not give this guy? He knows everybody. The team loves him. And you know what you're going to get. And I love the fact that he plays great fundamental baseball. I think MLB, with some of the rules that they put in, that's what they wanted, is a little bit of change with how baseball's been played. Hey, swing for the fence and, you know, try to hit a home run. No, it's stolen bases. It's limiting the shift. You need athletes out in the field. And what comes with that is you need a manager able to coach these type of athletes and encourage him. He's a huge encourager. And I just like how he's transparent and tells the media probably more than he should at times of like, this is how I'm running the club. This is how I run the bullpen. This is what I'm talking to these guys about. This is what I want to see from this guy. Because that's what you want as a player from a manager is transparency to where you can be approachable, but at the same time, you're getting coached the right way.
Another thing that I think has really fueled this team exceeding expectations, talking with Tim Dillard, Bally Sports Wisconsin here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, Rami in for Sparky, Christian Yelich, man, and you mentioned it. I mean, the power hasn't quite been there the way we saw it at the beginning of the season since he came back from the injury, but still as hot as anybody with the bat and really kind of returning to that MVP type of form. This day and age, Tim, everything is the best ever or the worst ever, and it's based on whatever you just saw today. Baseball is a weird sport, man, and guys like Christian Yelich, you know, dealing with some injuries for a few years, but then finding that form, it happens in this game, and it shouldn't be shocking too many people that, you know, this guy's good at baseball.
I don't think it can be stressed enough how incredible the return of Christian Yelich has been. I know not a whole bunch of home runs. That's not a big deal. Maybe a triple in there with some singles, but hard hit baseballs.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't go on rehab assignment. He just straight up missed a month facing live pitching at any level. And he walks out there, and his first game, he was 0-for-5, I believe, but he made contact 4 times, excluding foul balls, of course. But just be able to do that in and of itself, it can't be overlooked. Just making contact with a major league pitcher after not seeing anything for a month is pretty incredible. And then the next day, like 3 hits, the next day, like 2 hits. It's special. Only special players can pull together something like that after missing that much time and to be a difference maker. And honestly, I said it, I was like, if he had an eye patch, you know, and a crutch walking up to the plate, he'd still be a threat, right? Like, you got to pitch him like Christian Yelich. When they played the Cardinals, I was like, just because Goldschmidt is struggling, you still pitch him like he's Paul Goldschmidt because you have a track record. And when he stands in the box, you have to respect that. So for him to be able to just get in the box, but then also produce, it's unheard of. And I think it's amazing. And it's just a testament to what he's been able to do, not only in his career, but, scuffle for a few years, have a great bounce back year last season. And then what he's been able to do now is pretty remarkable.
Tim, I want to get your thoughts before I let you go on one last thing, and it's not sure. Brewers specific, but we saw it affect the Brewers game last night with a missed third strike call in the ninth inning, then a home run, and just gave the Pirates that extra cushion of an insurance run there, which, I mean, I don't need to tell you, it changes the complexion of a game from the momentum to how a pitcher approaches batters the following sure. half inning. I'm here for the electronic strike zone, Tim. I don't want, and it's not a knock on umpires. I think it's just a nearly impossible thing to do to call balls and strikes, especially with how hard pitchers are throwing today, how much motion are on pitchers today. I'd prefer that taken out of the hands of human beings and we get, you know, a 95 to 100% accuracy rate in calling strikes. Are you somebody who wants the human element of umpires back there behind the plate?
Well, I think we have, you know, an information overload, which became a problem when it came to umpires. There's so many computers or so many cameras or so many angles that we just know now. We just know. We know in real time, if you believe the box that's on the TV, okay, he missed that call, right? So we have to do better. Back in the day, they didn't have that. I watched the All-Star game from 1994. It was on my TV. Have no idea where it came from. Just happened to click it. It pops up. I'm seeing Frank Thomas in the box, and he's taking pitches. And I'm like, man, maybe those are strikes. And he ends up walking. So you're watching this throwback of, like, the umpire is everything. He can call whatever he wants to call, right? We're just not living in that type of baseball anymore. So if they do have a foolproof computer system, what I think would be best is they don't tell anybody about it. Implement it, and then don't tell anybody about it. Let's say it's a buzzer on the umpire's wrist or an earpiece. Don't care. Just let him know right away strike, or let him know right away ball, and then call the game. And then suddenly we're going to be like, wow, every umpire is 100% accurate. We don't care how they do it. We just care if they do it or not.
Right.
And I get it. It's hard to be an umpire. I mean, I'm going to look to see who the other pitcher is. And if it's a Cy Young guy, I'm like, all right, I'll sit this day out.
Talking with Tim Dillard of Bally Sports, Wisconsin Brewers analyst, here brought to you by Fourth Bay Steak and Seafood Restaurant. You mentioned Corbin Burns and maybe that being part of the reason that Vegas and others were a little down on this Brewers team to start the season. They also lost their manager, and by most people's measure, a pretty good one in Craig Counsell. Obviously, this team was familiar with Pat Murphy being Counsell's bench coach for all those years, but you don't know how a guy is going to handle being a manager until he's a manager in the big leagues. And so far, I don't know that there's anything bad to say about Pat Murphy's performance as the Brewers manager 40-some games into the season.
I have loved Pat Murphy. I get to be there for all his meetings and stuff before the game. I get to see him in the dugout, talk to him before games. He is a special breed of human. He's very transparent. He's the same person in front of the media as he is with his team, as he is in the dugout, as he is with his family. And you know what? Players are attracted to that because they know they're not going to get anything different other than who that person is. So I don't know. I'm a real huge Pat Murphy fan. And I saw it last year just kind of – I don't know what he saw, like if he knew he was going to be the guy. But to me, it was the easiest decision the Brewers could possibly make. Once Counsell left, why not? Why not give this guy? He knows everybody. The team loves him. And you know what you're going to get. And I love the fact that he plays great fundamental baseball. I think MLB, with some of the rules that they put in, that's what they wanted, is a little bit of change with how baseball's been played. Hey, swing for the fence and, you know, try to hit a home run. No, it's stolen bases. It's limiting the shift. You need athletes out in the field. And what comes with that is you need a manager able to coach these type of athletes and encourage them. He's a huge encourager. And I just like how he's transparent and tells the media probably more than he should at times of, like, this is how I'm running the club. This is how I run the bullpen. This is what I'm talking to these guys about. This is what I want to see from this guy. Because that's what you want as a player from a manager, is transparency to where you can be approachable, but at the same time you're getting coached the right way.
Another thing that I think has really fueled this team exceeding expectations, talking with Tim Dillard, Bally Sports Wisconsin here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, Rami in for Sparky. Christian Yelich, man, and you mentioned it. I mean, the power hasn't quite been there the way we saw it at the beginning of the season since he came back from the injury, but still as hot as anybody with the bat and really kind of returning to that MVP type of form. This day and age, Tim, everything is the best ever or the worst ever, and it's based on whatever you just saw today. Baseball is a weird sport, man, and guys like Christian Yelich, you know, dealing with some injuries for a few years, but then finding that form, it happens in this game, and it shouldn't be shocking too many people that, you know, this guy's good at baseball.
I don't think it can be stressed enough how incredible the return of Christian Yelich has been. I know not a whole bunch of home runs. That's not a big deal. Maybe a triple in there with some singles, but hard-hit baseballs.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't go on rehab assignment. He just straight up missed a month facing live pitching at any level. And he walks out there, and his first game, he was 0-for-5, I believe, but he made contact 4 times, excluding foul balls, of course. But just be able to do that in and of itself, it can't be overlooked. Just making contact with a major league pitcher after not seeing – anything for a month is pretty incredible. And then the next day, like 3 hits, the next day, like 2 hits. It's special. Only special players can pull together something like that after missing that much time and to be a difference maker. And honestly, I said it. I was like, if he had an eye patch, you know, and a crutch walking up to the plate, he'd still be a threat, right? Like, you got to pitch him like Christian Yelich. When they played the Cardinals, I was like, just because Goldschmidt is struggling, you still pitch him like he's Paul Goldschmidt because you have a track record. And when he stands in the box, you have to respect that. So for him to be able to just get in the box, but then also produce, it's unheard of. And I think it's amazing, and it's just a testament to what he's been able to do, not only in his career, but, you know, scuffle for a few years, have a great bounce-back year last season, and then what he's been able to do now is pretty remarkable.
Tim, I want to get your thoughts before I let you go on one last thing, and it's not sure. Brewers-specific, but we saw it affect the Brewers game last night with a missed third strike call in the ninth inning, then a home run, and just gave the Pirates that extra cushion of an insurance run there, which, I mean, I don't need to tell you, it changes the complexion of a game from the momentum to how a pitcher approaches batters the following sure. half inning. I'm here for the electronic strike zone, Tim. I don't want, and it's not a knock on umpires. I think it's just a nearly impossible thing to do to call balls and strikes, especially with how hard pitchers are throwing today, how much motion are on pitchers today. I'd prefer that taken out of the hands of human beings and we get, you know, a 95 to 100% accuracy rate in calling strikes. Are you somebody who wants the human element of umpires back there behind the plate?
Well, I think we have, you know, an information overload, which became a problem when it came to umpires. There's so many computers or so many cameras or so many angles that we just know now. We just know. We know in real time, if you believe the box that's on the TV, okay, he missed that call, right? So we have to do better. Back in the day, they didn't have that. I watched the All-Star game from 1994. It was on my TV. Have no idea where it came from. Just happened to click it. It pops up. I'm seeing Frank Thomas in the box, and he's taking pitches. And I'm like, man, maybe those are strikes. And he ends up walking. So you're watching this throwback of, like, the umpire is everything. He can call whatever he wants to call, right? We're just not living in that type of baseball anymore. So if they do have a foolproof computer system, what I think would be best is they don't tell anybody about it. Implement it, and then don't tell anybody about it. Let's say it's a buzzer on the umpire's wrist or an earpiece. Don't care. Just let him know right away strike, or let him know right away ball, and then call the game. And then suddenly we're going to be like, wow, every umpire is 100% accurate. We don't care how they do it. We just care if they do it or not.
Right.
And I get it. It's hard to be an umpire. I mean, it really is. But also at the same time, it's like the Supreme Court. There ain't nobody going away. Unless they want to go away. So it's like, okay, well, who's good, who's bad, and we're ranking umpires. And if they can get it foolproof, which I have not seen a system, that's what I'm looking for. Just don't tell anybody about it. The whole, like, let me tap my head and see if we can throw a red flag out here to try to get a review on it seems ridiculous. Let's just go bypass all of that and just say ball or strike. But you need the human element, because there's a lot going on. There really is. There's a lot going on. When it comes to got to make calls on the fly, did the ball go foul before it got to first base? You have to have umpires out there. There's so much more going on than just the balls and strikes. But if they took that out of play and didn't tell anybody about it, I think it would fly, and I think people would be okay with it.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to remove umpires from the game. Just take that element of the game out of their hands. And when you said, and it jumped out to me, when you said the umpires were everything when you were watching that game back in the day, To me, that contributes to the problem of, and I don't know if you want to get into this, Tim, just say you don't, if you don't, of umpires, Angel Hernandez, who think they're the show and that people are there to see them and their bad strike zone. You know what? And that I don't want to encourage that mindset among umpires in Major League Baseball.
You ever see the movie Judge Dredd with Sylvester Stallone?
Yes.
Where he's like, I am the law. You know? but here's the thing. That's I feel like that's kind of what it is now. You know, but back then, you didn't replay. I mean, what they said, you may not agree with it, but that's why you got to voice your opinion and you could get tossed. You know, and there was a lot more, you know, relationships there. Guys would get mad at a call. They'd yell at the umpire, and the umpire's like, no, sorry. And then that was it. And I didn't mean that as a negative thing. I meant, like, there was so much respect for these guys because they were umpires, and that there are a high percentage of the time they were going to get it right. And there was a lot of respect there. But now with all the video and stuff, I'm going to say it, it's really hard for a player to respect an umpire when they can look back and say they had an at-bat and they struck out and two pitches were called wrong on them. It's hard to respect when it's like, I get that it's hard, but you're doubling down on this and I can't argue about it. Yep. So you're taking that element away from the player. And so if you can't get it perfect, then you should add that element back, and they never will. So that's why we're kind of in this era. But back in 1994, man, Wade Boggs, I saw this game, this All-Star game. He struck out twice in the game, which very rarely happened, on a pitch six inches outside. He kind of just looked at it and shook his head and walked off. If Wade Boggs can do it, we should be able to do it too and see that now. But it's not there because we have so much information now.
That's Tim Dillard, Bally Sports Wisconsin Brewers analyst, one of my favorite baseball follows on Twitter at Dim Tillard. He's brought to you by Fourth Base Steak and Seafood Restaurant. Really appreciate the convo and the time, Tim. Thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, appreciate it, Rami. You're doing a great job filling in.
Appreciate
right?
you.
Just in case. Always ready.
Always ready. Thank you. That's Tim Dillard joining us on the show. Thanks a lot, Tim.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other topics, and managing it as one big, juicy investment. Mmm, now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Too often, green laundry detergents come with a compromise. They're better for the planet, but worse at the one thing that matters most, cleaning your clothes. Dirty Labs believes you shouldn't have to lower your standards for the sake of sustainability. Using advanced green chemistry, they created a detergent that uses an entirely new cleaning engine, inspired by the genius of nature. If Dirty Labs can't make you believe in the power of green cleaning, nothing will. Fall in love, or it's free, at dirtylabs.com.
PNC Bank brings you Call of the Wild Money Moves. Shh, listen.
Hey, guys.
That's the sound of a multi-level marketing pitch.
This is life-changing, you guys.
Sounds like she wants you to buy lots of essential oils.
They are so essential.
And then have all your friends buy essential oils.
Are you more of a geranium or a lavender fan?
Don't look her in the eyes.
Guard against wild money moves with PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865.